One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I.
And aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Paradise Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our toll-free numbers are 888-228-4494. For Canada, the number is 877-489-6350. Our direct line, same area code, 530-776-5154. Or 776-5185 and 876-9916. And you may all want to take a note of those call-in numbers. Those are new numbers to the show and for all of Station 2. And I personally want to welcome all our listeners this evening. I have been very excited about this show tonight. I have a very dear friend that's on the show with us, and he has come with an incredible amount of knowledge to share with each of you this evening. Our guest tonight is Robert Potter. And so let's immediately go ahead and give Robert a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha and welcome, Robert.
Aloha, Leilani. It's an honor to be here this evening. And all your wonderful listeners, I have to say I feel very honored. I am a good friend and associate of James Gilliland, Dr. Fred Bell, and Len Horowitz, as well as yourself. And the quality of all of you is getting a good message out to people of a positive nature is an important thing for the planet today. And I'd like to introduce myself to your listeners a little bit.
Absolutely.
First of all, let me just make a disclaimer. I'm just an innocent traveler on the path of life here, and I've been very gifted and fortunate to have many great teachers and to be put in certain circumstances, which has led me to a feeling of contentment of following a spiritual path. And I could say one of the first things in my journey and my life that started for me was I grew up in Laguna Beach, California. When I was a youngster, Timothy Leary and the Brotherhood of Eternal Love was here. Laguna was kind of a unique place in the 60s. The Beatles were hanging out with the Love Animals, Don't Eat Them. And we had a Rajneesh temple and a Hare Krishna temple. And I was introduced to spiritual and metaphysical ideas through my mother and my own natural inclination. And it kind of came to a head for me when I was about 16 or so. I read Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain and about the power of the mind and spirit, and was trying to will myself into doing some telekinesis, and I decided to get a pyramid. And I was talking with a girl at school who talked about a pyramid, and she says, well, you have to meet the pyramid man, my friend Fred Bell. And, well, the rest, as they say, is history. And I don't know if you know, but a lot of your viewers probably, or listeners, if they listen to Dr. Bell, know that, among other things, you know, his great uncle invented the telephone. But he's a brilliant scientist. And when I met him, he was developing his series of pyramids, which through following his teachings and learning about negative ionization, pyramids, crystals, lasers, the Great White Brotherhood, extraterrestrials. From there, my experiences branched off to other teachers of the old guard of UFO contactees. Gabriel Green was an instrumental character in my life during my early phases of spiritual development, which in some instances in the early days was paralleling Carlos Castaneda in the sense that I was kind of a dummy. And one of the techniques of spiritual advancement is to stop your internal dialogue so that you can practice what the Hindus call dhyana, or concentration.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I don't recommend it, but I had a Don Juan-type character who took me through some experiences which helped me become aware of myself beyond my physical body and to actually have kind of like a separate reality, an understanding of who we are as light beings and the different points on our aura, so to speak, as far as consciousness goes. And then from there...
Let me ask you this question real quick, Robert, if I may, and forgive me for the interjection here. But, you know, it's interesting because I'm sure there are some listeners that are listening tonight to the show would like to know how does the Great White Brotherhood and the extraterrestrials work with each other? I mean, how does that all kind of blend together, if you may? If you could just explain that very briefly for our listeners.
Well, my experience on that level, I would say, you know, in this outer body at this time, I could say is none. But I can tell you that through the opening of my third eye and listening with my inner voice and following, I do have, believe we have, ministerial angels and guiding angels. And through my life, I've been guided to certain individuals and informations, which I met George King, who... was the founder of the Aetherius Society and a contactee who meditated in his room for 10 years, and a being walked in and told him he was to become the voice of interplanetary parliament. So he became a full voice channel for the what's called the Solar Council. First of all, we have to understand that humanity, there is a plan of redemption. We got a little ahead of ourselves here. I wanted to give a disclaimer that, you know, I'm just sharing my information. I don't claim to be an authority or any high initiate or guru or master of any way when I say these things, but I have to present these things as truth.
Yes, I understand.
For me, they are, and I understand the reasons that some of these things are generally kept hidden to the most of mankind, but it's coming to the time if you knock upon the door, if you seek, the answers are going to come to you. And here's how it works as I understand it. A long time ago, before Adam and Eve, there was the land of what some people call the land of Quello. And it was a civilization that walked hand in hand with the Creator, and they transgressed the laws, and their world was rent asunder by those who went against God's word. Okay, the living word of God. They transgressed certain laws, and the result was is that Many of the individuals that survived were spiritual beings, and there were those kind of a fallen nature. Now, the ones of the spiritual nature went inside the planet. Previous to this time, as I understand, there were the sacred pyramid temple complexes, and in each of these temple complexes was installed an eternal flame. And this flame was called the Ra, I guess. There was the Ra of India. It went underground in Luxor. There was the Ra-Ma, and this civilization went underground under the Himalayas. There was Ra-Mu, the civilization that went underground in Mount Shasta, and I know of one underneath the Bermuda Triangle area called Ra-Yolo.
Well, let me ask you this, Robert, if I may, pardon me for the interjection again, but let me ask you this question, because it had come my way not too long ago, quite recent actually, that they had actually moved location from Mount Shasta. So are they still there?
I don't know. I'm talking about an ancient time. It seems to me I lived in Mount Shasta. My son was born there. And I can tell you I have seen UFO activity coming off the mountain, and there's a tremendous sense or presence there going on in the nature spirits, anyway, on that level. Whether they're there or not, I know that some of these are internal, these are internal cities. Not all of these are deep inner earth, not the inner hollow inner earth people, the but these are different levels of beings that lived within the crust of the earth. And some of them actually have different colored skins, and your Bigfoot is one of them, okay? Your Sasquatch, your Abominable Snowman, your Yeti. These are individuals that they're very telepathic. That's why they'll never be caught. They mostly live inside the earth, and they come to the surface sometimes during sunset and so forth. But these people have nothing to do with humans, okay, because in a sense we're kind of contaminated. Dr. Bell, when I was a youngster and he was having his contacts with Semiosity of the Pleiades, and I was going up to his house on a regular basis when this was happening, he talked about, well, they sometimes have a hard time dealing with it, you know, if they're more sensitive. We have like an auric stench, mostly because of our thoughts aren't really focused on God and spiritual things. So there's
Could you hold your thought for just one moment, if you would, Robert? I have a question from one of the listeners for you before we dive in deeper here. And Serenity Peace asks, would this also include the Mayan ruins as well?
Yes. At the time of the one of the destructions, the King Atlan sent his daughter, Maya, to the Central American area. And as James Hertak states, he believes that this is the return of the head of the spiritual government after the return of the messianic forces at some point in the future here. That will be the head of the new spiritual government of peace bearers that will rebuild this planet. And we have a choice right now. I met who the Hopis call the seed giver. He fulfilled a prophecy, and he's been given seeds that have never been, denigrated by anything other than hand planting and natural methods for the last, thousands of years. And he holds a very high genetic stock of seeds. And he told me that this is a time of regeneration, and we have a choice, the red road or the beauty way, or the way of destruction. So, yes, absolutely, the Mesoamerican Indians, all peoples of the earth, have their spiritual and cultural history in the ancient genealogy of the planet and extraterrestrials, too. Hertak's sites around the world indicate places where what they call the Ark of the Chilicosm in the Hebrews was opened up, and teachings were given from the higher heavens, from the whole light beings who are traveling, some of them in seraphic transports or spiritual spaceships, if you will. But they, some of them can travel with their light bodies. They don't need their spaceships. But, yes, there's a whole plan of reawakening and igniting our consciousness and our spiritual relationship to ourselves at this time when we are at the at a crux and a crossroads.
Yes, we are, aren't we?
One of the main things I'd like to bring out tonight, which was difficult for me in the beginning to understand, Dr. Bell, I kind of had a slight aversion to the Bible because of the personality thing and the vicarious atonement. If you just say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, then you're done with learning in your spiritual life. I knew there was more to life and spirituality than that. And he turned me on to the autobiography of a yogi with Paramahansa Yogananda, where this understanding of a universal Christ consciousness is understood, and that the way to attain that...
That's interesting, because I just recently had them on this show.
Uh-huh.
But please continue.
Well, one of the ways to that is through the mighty I Am Within and practicing the presence of God, which is also spoken about in the teachings of the Great White Brotherhood or Saint Germain from the I Am group in Mount Shasta that teaches the teachings of Guy Ballard and his communication with the Great White Brotherhood. So I was going into the inner earth and Great White Brotherhood and the extraterrestrials and how they communicate, and I'll say simply that there is different levels of what we can call spiritual servers on the planet, and they're recognized and they work in a group in unison. So there's these groups inside the earth that are kind of cut off from us and have nothing to do with us. At the same time, there are what they call the seven secret cities.
Yeah.
And these exist high in the mountaintops in the world, in Ecuador, in the Pyrenees, and I think there's one in Russia or near China.
Yes,
and,
that is true.
In these locations, these are people who live in a communion with God, and these beings basically have incorruptible bodies of flesh. And to a certain extent, they're immortal in a physical form. They bilocate, and they contact members of humanity. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And various of these male and female kind of Christ-like ascended masters, in a sense, communicate with humans to bring them on to a realization of themselves and understanding their past lives and higher spiritual truths, which these people are ready for. Many of these people are invited and taken to these locations. For instance, I know a story of one individual who had cancer, and through a series of circumstances, he found himself on a plane headed almost straight up at about 12,000 feet in Ecuador. And after a while, he lowered down and came down into a very paradisical, idyllic setting where for 3 months he learned the natural laws of health and harmony and happiness, and he practiced those laws and cured his cancer. Now, that was given to him because of his spiritual development, and he was available to accept learning.
I would like to add this as well to that, because, you know, a lot of times we have the opportunity as well is to travel to these places in the etheric. And, you know, as the saying goes, as above, so below. And so when you go to these places in the etheric, you know, you bring that energy back with you, and it starts to manifest itself in the physical. You know, I've gone many a times to the chambers in Mount Shasta. I love Mount Shasta, so I go there quite a bit. But, you know, I wanted to bring that information forward for all our listeners as well. So for those that would like to have that opportunity, that they know that it's available to them. And, you know,
I'd also like to say Dr. Frank Stranges, who is one of my mentors and who is present-day contactee and has repeated contacts and visits aboard Victor 1, a Guardian ship for the Solar Council, on which is stationed near Lake Mead, is constantly bringing forth new teachings. And, of course, they have what are called night class. And if your listeners are interested, they can go to NICUFO, NICUFO.org, and look this up while they're listening to this radio show, and they can see Dr. Frank and the Inner Circle. I recommend they join the Space Link and the Inner Circle membership itself, and they can learn new things that they are revealing to us to help us develop ourselves spiritually. And one of the things you can do is you can be invited on board for night classes. Now, I don't remember what's happened, but I can tell you I've had several experiences upon waking where they did I had certain experiences that indicated to me that I definitely had been on board. So what they're preparing us for, I think, on a certain level, has to remain hidden and secret, because there are some bad guys out there, and that's one of the points I wanted to make, is one of the mistakes people make. Now, there's not a universal evil per se, but there are those who have kind of turn their back on the light. And so I think it's important that people recognize that some of these grays and these abductions are, and the spaceships that are shaped like beehives and they smell like sulfur, are full of demons who are kind of fallen angels, and they've been corralled here. It's important to know that this Earth is a prison planet containing both fallen and divine thought forms, as Hertak would say. So we have a definite agenda being played against us by very vengeful spirits. And these spirits have seemed to co-opted, they live a pretty long time, and they have co-opted the dregs of the human barrel as far as consciousness and integrity goes, and through a series of manipulations through the centuries are trying to culminate a plan to destroy mankind. It's pretty satanic, because that's where it originates. But there are forces, the forces of light, if you will call them, or Melchizedek or Michael or the Venusians and the Pleiadians, or whatever you want to name to give to these various groups that are coming here to serve us through this transition period, seem to indicate is that there's a change taking place. And it has a lot to do with Christ and stuff like that also. It can be pretty complicated, but on one level it's an exciting time for us to develop ourselves spiritually.
Well, let me ask you this, and let's go and revisit this for just a moment, if we may, Robert. You know, you had referred to as a prison planet, and we have been for eons of time. And when you say this, what you're really saying is that there has been those certain groups of beings that are
demons,
bent on keeping control.
Hindus in the all the Vedas would call them asuras. Yeah.
Yes.
Lower astral beings, etc. Yeah.
Right, and that's for my listeners that, you know, are just on their journey, or you know, this is their first time being introduced to the extraterrestrials, along with the ascended masters and so forth. So I wanted to make sure that we really brought that forward, is that, you know, it's the power and the control that they have had over the masses here on this planet for their own self-purposes. And a lot of times it has to do with greed, and there are so many elements to that, isn't there, Robert?
Yeah, well, one of the things you have to understand is that there is a very small group of very powerful negative beings. Okay, so they can work through a vibrational thing, and I'll tell you an experience I had out at Gabriel Green's that taught me about the quote dark force or the possession. I didn't understand it. I was out there with a guy named Gabriel with Michael L. Legion, who's kind of a psychic guy, and some other people, and I've been very much wanting to know what was going on in my life with the extraterrestrials. I was having experiences around Fred, but Fred didn't talk anything about what was happening. I was just experiencing tremendous changes in my body and in consciousness and telepathic communications and lights, and it was very disconcerting. I wasn't very grounded, and I called up Gabriel Green, and, you know, I was very hungry. I've always been very much a seeker. I go and meet Gabriel Green, Hal Wilcox, Frank Stranges, Dan Fry, many of these people who were maintaining contact with physical beings and angels and giving information about spiritual consciousness, meditation, Richard Miller group, and things like this. So I was very excited and into the stuff, and I called him up, and he says, Rob, the Master Hilarion says you should come up this weekend. They're going to send a teacher. So I'm all excited. We get up to his house in the desert there, and the first thing that happens is the lights blink on and off. Okay, and you get like a static electricity charge. So he had was doing in the beginning, I needed phenomenon to be able to touch it and understand which was taking place with the extraterrestrials. Are they real or not? That was my inner call. I want to know for myself. I'm tired of all of this because you're not getting any help from the government or the media. They're down tracking you, and I admit I was programmed to a certain extent of having a lack of faith in my own experience and understanding what it was. And I can understand Fred's wisdom in not trying to explain to me what was going on, so I could have my own realization here. And what happened, we went out to the desert, and there was a guy. We were all making a salad. This guy walks back and forth between two rooms kind of mysteriously, kind of like a cartoon. Click, open the door, bump, 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 go to the other door, click, open the door. And the guy comes out, and he goes behind a guy and waves his hands around. And it real funny kind of kung fu Qigong thing, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm giving him a healing. And I said, do you see auras? And he looked me straight in the eye and says, I do. And he said, what do you see in my aura? And he says, well, you're doing okay. You think you know more than you do, and you move a little too fast, so you're doing okay. So then he went to another woman. She called herself Lady Venus, and I had a problem. I felt she was just a little on a fantasy New Age trip. I'm very grounded. I need to touch it as well as experience it. Not if I can't touch it doesn't mean it's not real, but I need to have my own inner experience. So I watched her go through a series of energy shifts, and he kind of looked at me and said, you see the shift? And I could watch her. She was becoming possessed, which is kind of a weird thing to say, but it's when we fall prey to our ego and our lower self, and the energy shifted in the room quite a bit, and her baby started crying. She couldn't handle it. He offered her some water as a cleansing baptism, but she wouldn't take it. So he proceeded to go around the room and give everyone who I knew personally some pretty accurate readings about who they were and just kind of where they were in their life, which to me is giving me, okay, so here's a little show. The guy's showing a level of telepathy. What does this mean? So I asked him, I said, how are the spaceships? What's going on? How are they working? He goes, well, he says they're not physical. He says, and they can settle into the room. And as he said that, a golden light came into the room, and all of us were bathed in all I can describe is this very peaceful, ecstatic bliss. Gabe just smiled knowingly and was glowing. Everyone was just feeling this beautiful presence, and this golden light was so powerful.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Robert. Know I do.
So the next day, the guy takes me out in the garden. He says, and he starts putting up these rocks and stuff. I go, what do you think is wrong? He goes, dark forces. He says, they're all around here. They're trying to interfere. And I'm like, okay, dude, whatever. And this is in 82, mind you, before the gray thing was understood. We were getting cattle mutilations, children abductions, all that stuff, which we know now where that's from. But at the time, it was, here's this beautiful love and light angel extraterrestrial thing, and then we have this kind of demon one. It was very disconcerting at the time. And anyway, so what he did was he got in the car with me and Gabriel Green, and one other individual was invited to go. And he said, let's drive down this road. And he said, I'm going to go 6 miles, 6.2 miles. And he looked down at the odometer, and then he told Gabe, now go 3.1. And I'm thinking, this guy, you know, how did he get here? He didn't have a car. And he's telling us to go 0.1 miles. I said, are they telling you? He says, they're telling me right where to go now. So he drives us out like 10 turns, and we're being guided. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty impressive. Where are we going? And we end up at Bob Short's house, who is another one of the guys I sought out in the 80s, who is a contactee. And Gabriel says, well, in his little twang, he goes, that's Bob Short's house over there, but he's not here. And the guy goes, well, let's go over there and see what happens. So we go over there. As soon as we get out of the car, we start to hear, you can't see it, but when you're out in the desert and there's no houses around for a mile, you can hear a car rolling up on the sand. So we're here in this car. Finally, we can see it. Gets closer, comes right to the house, and who is it? It's Bill Hamilton. Just back from a debriefing of these three women in Sedona, Arizona, who had met these very benevolent Pleiadian extraterrestrials. And all this, they were, you know, they were integrating their experience, writing poetry, music, and painting. I mean, you know, they were all just ripe for spiritual advancement from this contact. So later on, and here's, this is what came to my experience was, okay, so now he says we're to go over the hill. And over this hill that we go over, it's a small bowl-like depression, but it's pretty deep. And so we walk down several hundred yards towards the bottom of this bowl. Kind of looked like that thing in that movie with, what's his name, Jeff Bridges, when they picked him. It was like a big hole there. Anyway, so we're sitting there for a second, and this spaceship comes in and just starts glowing this red light and raining this ion shower cloud down. I started to cry, and because all I was saying was I just wanted to know, and a female voice in my head said, well, Rom, now you know. And I said, well, what can I do? How can I help to heal this really messed up planet? They said, well, you have nice healing energy in your hands. Continue with your massage and healing work. You can share this experience that you're having now with others when you feel they're ready. So I started crying, and so I got a little clearer in my head, and I asked, in my head, this thing is raining down with the four of us standing there, and in my head I say, can you land? And the voice laughed, and she said, no. You'd think you're the Messiah.
I get it. I really understand that because, you know, it's really interesting. I've had quite a few experiences myself. And, you know, and you're right. I mean, when you're in the presence, I mean, you really know. Because
this is a fourth experience, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're all there, and the guy goes, well, should we? The thing kind of was there, and it was like, and it kind of disappeared. And the guy was like, should we stay? And I knew they weren't coming back. I said no. I said let's go back, you know. And it was like, that's all I needed was to know, because if they're not going to land, and she told me in my head she's not going to, all I needed to know was yes, here's an intelligent force that can. You know, they read your mind and follow you. They are looking for those individuals, and there's plenty of people who are knocking at the door, who are being followed, and many people who aren't even aware of what's going on, who are living a godly spiritual life. It doesn't matter if you know about ETs. The key that opens the door to the mighty I Am presence is the 12 aspects of faith and consciousness that bring you forth, as exemplified by Norm Paulson, Yogananda's chauffeur, who has what's called the Solar Logos Foundation .org, by the way, for your listeners. But he's a contactee of the Andromedans, and he married George Van Tassel's daughter. I spent some time with him, and he's written several series of his books. It was called Return of the Ancients and so forth, and now it's called The Christ Consciousness. But by developing the 12 virtues, which, you know, are the food of your soul. One of the reasons, I'll say this, that's difficult for people to, when I say a prison planet, it means we have a closed reincarnational system, okay? The souls here, very few go beyond the earth. There are those that ascend, but not very many, and it takes a long time. Right now, at this particular period of time in the development of the earth. And this is talked about with Colonel Wendell Stevens in his book, UFO Contact from Iarga. And in that book, the Iargians, who contacted a businessman in Brussels, talk about a phase that the earth is coming to where we go through a choosing of wheat and the chaff of the consciousness, and how, you know, what happens is like a harvesting of souls, just like in your lifetime. If you believe you were born and multiple times, your soul grows through this experience. What your soul keeps are the virtues, and I'll tell them to you, and they're associated with astrological signs and this natural magnetic and mathematical progression or order of the equinox. It starts off loyalty as Aries, and patience and honesty, and then perseverance, and then of course we come to Leo as compassion, and continence is Virgo, equanimity is Libra, and courage is Scorpio, temperance is Capricorn. Humility is Sagittarius, and then temperance is Capricorn, and then charity is Aquarius, and faith is Pisces. So your soul harvests these, and in the Bible it says the last enemy to be conquered shall be death. And what people don't realize is that we are kind of so far away from our rightful soul place, is that death is actually a gift to mankind. So if he was to realize how far away his journey home is, he doesn't get discouraged. But now the time is coming where mankind can make a tremendous advance in his spiritual progress. This is a time of grace. There are seven dispensations, and this is the dispensation of grace. Mm-hmm. Right before the return. So I truly believe that we're in a monumental period, and tremendous things are happening. You're not going to get it from your television and from your normal sources of information. These things, a lot of this information has to be gathered by the mature soul who listens on the inner planes and has their own experience. Okay? Mm-hmm. So everyone can develop this by knocking on the door of their own spiritual awareness. In the Mayan calendar, I'm what they call a blue self-existing hand. I define in order to know. Measuring healing, I seal the store of accomplishment with the self-existing tone of form, and I'm very formulaic. So there's lots of interesting things that, formulas that we can do to uplift our vibratory aura. One of them is use a pyramid. Dr. Bell's technology is incredible.
Yes.
And by understanding pyramid energy, which is scientifically defined as a progressive energy transfer through geometric focusing and dynamic electrical amplification over a measured plane of coordinates. So what that means is the pyramid acts as a lens and brings in all seven colors like a rainbow in a prism, seven notes of the musical scale, seven colors of the rainbow, seven endocrine glands secreting hormones into the body, cause your feelings. You can see how a balanced resonant field of a pyramid is going to be healing. When you look at all the, everyone knows there are pyramids on every continent, you know, and there's other shapes have energies too, but it's not the great icosahedron out there.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Robert, because
and that actually has tremendous mathematicals based on the Fibonacci series, which goes into holograms and the Om and the return of these great teachers, the avatars like Sai Baba, and these ancient lineages which are coming forward with their teachings. One of the oldest lineages is Mahavatar Babaji and the Kriya Yoga, which he reinitiated to Lahari Mahesa in the jungle. And that went on to Sri Yukteswar and Yogananda. And then Babaji also appeared to Dr. Fred Bell, a yogi I know named Yogi Raj, and Norman Paulson also. So I know some people who have, Yogananda appeared to Norman Paulson. And so I do know individuals, and I've talked to them. And when you meet these individuals like I have, and you look them in the eye, you go through this understanding and experience it. A lot of the times it's difficult for them to relate their experience because people don't understand it. My experience after I got back from my UFO, first thing I did is I went and told my family. I said, oh, my God, you know all the stuff I've been talking about, the pyramids and Fred, and I've been wondering, and I saw them. They called me out, and they appeared. And when your own family goes, yeah, right, you kind of realize, my God, if your own family is not going to believe your most urgent, sincere pleading of your experience, it's going to be difficult for you to find some common ground there. So I kind of went into the normal, you know, reclusive space where I, after a while, I didn't tell everyone. I'm pretty brash and bold, so I don't mind telling people, and you know, people need to be shook up a little bit. So, you know,
absolutely correct, Robert. Real quick, I just want to welcome all our listeners this evening. I'm watching all your responses, and I'm so grateful that each of you are finding that the show is extremely informative to all of you. Our guest tonight is Robert Potter, a dear friend of mine. And you're almost making me feel special now, Robert, because I know a lot of you guys, and you guys were just so kind and just welcomed me right into your group. And, you know, Dr. Stranges is a dear, dear. I just love him. I think everyone that comes in contact with Dr. Stranges just falls in love with him right away. He's a great person, as you are. And I've been looking forward to having Wendell on the show. I've had a lot of you guys on here. We're getting close to the end of our show here, so I really would like for you to touch very briefly, if you would, talking about the depopulation and the martial law. I feel that's important. With that said, I do want to let all the listeners know that this is not going to be Robert's first and only show with us. He will be coming back to the show. So I hope that you all will come back and join us again, because you'll find that Robert just is a walking encyclopedia, in the sense of he really knows a lot of knowledge. And it's always an honor for me to be with all of you guys. So could you share some of the depopulation along with the martial law?
Right. Well, here's the story. Dark Force has been working a long time through the Illuminati. You can go back to their history in a book called The Brotherhood of the Third Degree, which talks about the time that the Freemasons originally were a very good spiritual group, and they were part of the liberty and the liberation of people from the kings and in the what you call the French Revolution times. But they were infiltrated and taken over now. But they've had a plan for a long time, and basically there's naughty guys out there doing things, but a lot of the people that are involved in it, the day-to-day people, we're in a prison and they don't know it. Your system, your rights, your constitutional, everything's been taken so far away from us by generation. The people now are so used, they're handing their shoes up in line. This is a gross violation of the constitutional rights. They're trying to get the kids used to being patted down and searched. So if they do, they plan to use their end game to take over and enslave the planet, which it's not going to happen. It can be a rough time, but it isn't going to happen. Their day is done. But the result is that through the 9/11, the 5,000-page document, which they just happened to have ready to go a week after the Patriot Act, the lies and the deceit that's gone on from the killing of Kennedy and Martin Luther King, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone knows there's something up. So what's going on is there's a dark force and it's working very hard, but it only has the power that you give it, the attention and the fear, okay? They have mind control technologies working in television. They got HARP. They've got ultrasonic beams, carrier waves on your cell phones. Pyramid technology can overcome that as well as prayer. You can circle yourself with the ring of fire, and I'd like to give it to your listeners right now.
Please.
If you want to record this or whatever, there's three different rings. Eternal Father, in the name of the God of everlasting creation, I hereby command all evil forces of darkness to release me now from every force, power, and authority that is binding me and preventing me from becoming fruitful and successful. I hereby rebuke the evil one and command you to take your hands off me now and forevermore in the blessed name of the Creator and all of his saints. Amen.
Robert, would you please send me this prayer in email? And what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is to post this on my show page so
Absolutely.
It will be available to all my listeners.
This is a prayer given by Commander Valiant Thor, who is one of the leaders of the Solar Council that contacts the Great White Brotherhood. We do have four, what they're called, Time Lords or Lupika Lords of Karma, and Babaji is one of them. He's the deathless guru, kind of oversees the grand scheme of civilization, because if you're an eternal soul, you want to get it right. So sometimes there has to be changes in cataclysm and upheaval in order to remake into the God's new plan. So Hertak describes that pretty clearly in the Keys of Enoch, and through people preparing themselves today through different techniques, spiritual development techniques, and there's many of them, watching the thoughts and the breath and repetition in your consciousness and your mind on God, withdrawing your senses and becoming more detached and having a warrior spirit and following a path with heart, we can individually come together collectively, and the power of prayer has a tremendous ability of purification. And so if people make the right decisions in their own life, begin with themselves, all of these negative martial law plans will not come to fruition. Okay? You find that when we have a hurricane, we respond. Who messes it up? The government.
Yes.
Those FEMA boys, those boys in black, all those
I'm very aware of that.
Yeah, the people's ability to come together, I think we're going to do fine. Say we don't have televisions and whatever for a while. Long as we're left to our own devices, the cream of the crop will rise to the top, and mankind will find and will build a better way. And we're going to have help. The hand of friendship was extended when Commander Valiant Thor landed and gave a series of papers to President Eisenhower and offered the solution to many of the world's problems and ills of technologies and health and healing, which Dr. Bell has in the X1 healing machine, and they were rejected because it would ruin the economy. But the Joint Chiefs of Staff was infiltrated, and there's a whole series of stories going on, and everyone's knowing about these dark forces, so now the whole truth will set us free. But we need to step up with courage and not be afraid of ridicule and shame and to tell people what's going on, because it won't be long before we have there's going to be some great changes here, especially as the extraterrestrial presence makes itself known in a very benevolent and friendly way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Would you like to share the Ring of Fire prayer with all the listeners as well? And, you know, it's really interesting. Ever since Dr. Strange has shared these two prayers, he actually gave me the Ring of Fire prayer and the expanding your inner spiritual self. it actually started showing up permanently anchored in my DNA. And so could you share that prayer as well with the listeners?
Yeah, it's Eternal Father, Creator of the Universe, hear this day my petition. Surround me now with your divine ring of fire, the fire of your protection, the fire of your abundance, the fire of complete healing, and the fire of divine abundance. I now command the hand of Almighty God on my behalf this very moment. Let it be so. In the blessed name of the Creator and His Sovereign Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So be it.
Amen. Ooh, I love that prayer. I say it every day, once in the morning and once in the evening, and it has been so powerful in my own life. And I will also post that up on our show page. But we are coming to the end of the show, so I must say good night to you, Robert. It has been a real honor to have you. Once again, we are going to have Robert again on the show, and I'm going to see what I can do about having Robert come and visit us more frequently to share his thoughts, and maybe we can do have Dr. Stranges and Craig Cabozo and Dr. Boylan and all these guys on the show at one time. I am extremely honored, and I thank you for sharing with all the listeners this evening. And we look forward to your return to the show. I apologize, Robert.
I was going to say thank you very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and it never has seemed to be enough time. I just wanted to go into depth in so many wonderful different subjects here, so hopefully we can do it again, and thank you for your time.
Well, I'll work on seeing if I can do a two-hour special show with you. I won't promise you anything, but I will work on that, and we'll get really in depth with the listeners. I just want to remind all our listeners this evening, you are indeed the great, mighty I Am presence, the power and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. And I send each of you a great blessing and a special dispensation to each and every one of you and to all our sisters and brothers worldwide. On that note, have a great, great Thanksgiving, and remember to give thanks to Father, Mother, God for all the great, wonderful miracles in your life. Until we once again reconnect, have a good night. Good night to all.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly.